Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
That's right. You're listening to Live Paranormal Radio. This is the Raising the Vibration Show, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a 26-year talk radio host. Raising the Vibration is an offshoot of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in 2016 to carry on my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane, and to make the world a better place. It's a spiritual nonprofit. RaisingTheVibration.org is where you can find us, and this show at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and of course, LiveParanormal.com, and you can find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Each week on the show, I gather people that I love, that I think are the brightest and most beautiful and loveliest hearts and minds and souls in the spiritual and paranormal communities, people who are interested in taking their particular passions and their gifts and their souls and their light and their beautiful energy and use it to make the world a better place. This is a show about giving back. It's a show about staying in the light. It's a show about passion over everything. It's a show about raising the vibration. And my guest today is no exception to any of those things. She's a wonderfully talented author, speaker, the director of iconic films, including the amazing What the Bleep Do We Know, and a very dear friend. I'm honored to have her here. Please welcome to Live Paranormal Radio and Raising the Vibration, my dear friend, Betsy Chassie. How are you, my friend? It's great to hear from you.
I'm good. How are you, Miss Goddess of All?
I am wonderful. It's been a long time. It's nice to have you back on the air with me. It's been a crazy year of quarantining and radio transitioning.
I know. What else could we add to it? Let's just keep it fun and light. It's been enough.
Exactly.
It's enough.
You know what? It's been a fantastic spiritual year for me I haven't been in my house this much since I was 14, I think, years old. I've had time to been very busy, but everything happens at home. It's kind of nice to be in your home sometimes. Kind of lovely.
Yeah, not when you have two teenagers stuck in quarantine and missing out on all their friends. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I have.
Wait, I'm supposed to raise the vibration.
No. I have three spirit children that I live with a lot of the time, and they're kind of stuck without their friends. So I understand. I understand what it's like, but they're being really good. I think as long as they have something to do and an iPhone and we have Netflix, they're pretty okay.
Usually, yeah. You know, it's been a tough, weird year for everybody, and you know, it's good that we're all going to get through it, and we will make it. I'm trusting and faithing, and hopefully we'll come out of this last little bubble of chaos with some grounding, some reconnection back to what's important, and some reconnection back to our humanity, and some reconnection back to love and each other. How's that?
I agree with you. I think that's absolutely what that's been. For me, this year has been very much looking at my life and deciding what I want and what I don't want. And I think that is part of raising the vibration, right?
You've been
part
killing your Buddhas.
I'm sorry? Yes, I have.
Killing your Buddhas.
Absolutely.
Good job.
If you're in a hot air balloon and you want to raise, right, you got to throw the heavy stuff out of the basket. And that's kind of what this year has been for me. It's been throwing a lot of things out of the basket, the vibration, and realizing that, you know, because those of us who live in the entertainment business, as I do as well, everything died. And I think we lived for so long under the misnomer that we couldn't live without it. And now we know what it's like to live without it. So no, we don't have to be beholden to it anymore. And when I go back to doing things in entertainment again, this is kind of the beginning of it, was relaunching these radio shows. And in the summer, starting three video shows that I do for Life Paranormal. It's really on my terms. It's what makes me happy. And I don't really want to, I don't think any of us should be allowing ourselves to be unhappily compromised by people that, as my mama used to say, take their half out of the middle and don't make us happy. And I think we've done too much of that. And I think one of the blessings of COVID and the quarantine is that we don't have to do that anymore. And that I think is a beautiful
thing. Well, we actually never had to do that. We just all do it anyway. We
exactly.
all did it.
Right.
We never actually had to do it. Right.
We thought we did.
Well,
I grew up as an actor, as you did, right? So we grew up with this idea of you have to take this thing because if you don't, you may never get another thing. So our whole lives were so desperate. We're always going to lose that brass ring that's always 2 inches in front of our nose and it never quite gets close enough. And I think you have to sometimes go through a lot.
This journey started for me a little earlier than the COVID lockdown. I, right before, in 2018, I had worked for a year and a half on a film that had to be shelved because one of the main subjects signed a deal that then forced them to shut down this movie. Mm. And I was kind of devastated, right? I was kind of like, damn, you know, I worked really hard on this movie and it was going to be good. And I just kind of woke up and said, why am I doing this? Like, what am I doing? Why, I don't want to do this anymore. I hate all this. And I just said to my kids, my one child had just started middle school and my other child had just started high school. And they were miserable too. Like, we were all just sick of the home we lived, like everything about our lives is just, you know, like you say, baggage. And it was all have to do's and all just sort of like, you know, these like, things that we drudged through every day. And I just looked at them and said, screw it. Let's just sell everything we own and go to South America. You guys want to go on a big old trip? And they looked at me like, we can't do that, Mom. I'm like, we can totally do it. And that's what we're doing. And so we did. And we went to South America for 4 months. I would have gone longer, but my kids were like, okay, we want to go back to better internet, basically, is really what it was about, I think. But, you know, for us, it was a real shedding of like, wait a minute, we don't have to live that way. And I made this promise to myself that when I came back, because I was like, okay, I'm going back to the U.S. I'm going to go back on my terms this time. I'm going to not take projects that don't make me just want to orgasm and don't spill me and don't get me super excited and super juicy and woo. You know, I said to my kids, you know, we used to live in a big house and all this stuff. I said, we're not doing any of that. And I'm not taking all of that on anymore because I'm a single mom. And as you know, in the middle of the show, I'm going to jump in my car. I'm going to stay on the show, but I'm going to go pick up my kids from lacrosse practice. And, you know, I'm a single mom. I do it alone with two kids. But I just said, I'm not taking all that on. I'm going to do things my way. And while I was in South America, I wrote Killing Buddha. That was somebody said, you should write this as a novel. And it was interesting because even though it's a fictional novel, it's very much a personal story to me. And I realized like how much of that shoulds and have to's and stories about everything I had accumulated. And I tell every person, like, Sheena, you know what you ought to do? You may have done this or started this, but like there's nothing like kind of writing your story to like have a cathartic transformational experience. Even if you're never going to publish it, but just write it. And that's what I did. And so it's interesting. I came back and then COVID hit and everybody got, you know, shut in. But the idea of I'm not doing it anymore unless it fills my soul, I started in 2018.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm absolutely the same way. You know, I grew up in Huntington Beach, about an hour south of L.A. And I moved to Los Angeles after college because there wasn't really an art scene in Orange County and in Huntington Beach. And it was, you know, very conservative thinking and not artistic thinking. And I would come down all the time and visit my mom. I kind of always thought I lived both places in a way. And both my best friends are down here. And I would walk out of a store and be kind of bowled over by that smell of the ocean and the the beach barbecues, and I would think, God, if I didn't work someplace 4 blocks from my house, I would move back here and be happy. And it had kind of become this thing, like, well, maybe I'm going to do it. Well, I might do it. Well, I'm thinking about it someday. Then my mom passed, and I inherited her home that I grew up in. And then it was, well, maybe, you know, I have the house, and well, maybe someday. And then about a month before COVID hit, I fell in love for the first time in my life with an amazing person who lives in Seal Beach, the next town over. And just as we were kind of trying to figure out what we were doing, COVID hit. And we kind of got, you know, stuck because you're either together or you're not doing anything.
Right.
So we wound up spending a lot of time together. And I realized that kind of this is where I needed to be right now. And I prepared for the worst. I thought, well, I probably have enough money to get me through this year because I'm sure I will do nothing. And lo and behold, my spiritual practice just exploded. Because probably I think people were confused and needed help and it was the right time and I was in the right place. And I think sometimes if we stop sort of fighting the flow of what spirit is laying out for us in our life and just kind of get in the canoe and take the ride, sometimes it's so much more effortless. And then I was very worried about what was going to happen with radio. And then I got offered this gig and then everything just kind of worked out beautifully. And I, you know, I'm going to keep my place in LA and I'm sure I go back there a couple days a week, but I'm kind of loving going back to my roots and going back to the beach, which I think is kind of pretty much where I always belonged. And having this kind of life that's living. You know what I mean? Sitting in the hot tub at night.
You.
Right.
You
being with the people that I love, being with my family.
Yeah.
I love having kids now. You know what I mean? All this stuff that I kind of the life that passed me by that I never had was just waiting for me farther down the road. And that's,
well,
I think,
know,
kind of a...
I wish that more people, like, if you could say, Betsy, what's the one thing that you would wish people would sort of wake up to? It's like, I wish that people would wake up to the reality that they can do whatever that they want. I don't know if we can say the F word on radio, so I'm trying to be good, but do whatever the you want. Like, don't be a jerk, right? Like, we have to get back to our humanity. And we have to get back to our compassion for other people. But beyond that, like this whole idea that we have to perpetuate this cycle of commercialism and industrialization and consumerism. And it's just like, stop, you know, and if the world is not telling you that right now, like I think a lot of people that just don't like get it. Sometimes I'm like, if the planet and the situation we're in isn't showing us like, hello, you know, then I don't know what is. But I wish people would just realize, you know, there's always these little blogs. You know how when you do an interview, Sheena, you've probably had this question asked a gazillion times, right? Like, what would you tell your younger self, right? Like, it's like the big popular question, right? I would tell myself to do whatever I want. Don't be a jerk. Connect with your humanity and follow your heart and do what you love and screw everything else. And that's what I tell my kids every day. I'm like, you can do whatever you want. You don't have to go to college. You don't have to be a doctor. If you want to be whatever, you know, you got to pay. The trick to it is you got to make money because money is a tool. It's a frequency that this playing field requires. But you don't even have to have like gobs of money to like, you don't have to have a nice car and, you know, you don't. We don't.
Yeah, you're right. You only have to have what feeds your soul. And we're told, but we also, I think, are told in our lives, you know, a couple things. One is, if you don't have this, you're not enough. If you can't have this unless you also have this. And the worst is, if you have this, then you're never going to have this. And, my
These
whole life
rules.
I was always
These are
told,
stories.
Well, you know, you have a career and you got the radio career, so what you didn't get was this, and you're probably never going to have the relationship and the this, and just, you know, and I do believe in being thankful for what you have. Absolutely. I think it all starts from coming from a place of gratefulness, but I also believe that you have to very decidedly know that sometimes things aren't happening for you now. That doesn't mean they're not happening. It just means now is not the time. I feel sometimes like there should be a show called Spirit Knows Best, and because just trust. Just trust in the universe that.
Go ahead. Finish.
You know what I mean? Just trust.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Well, I see, first two things. I don't call it the universe because I think it's really funny. And this is part of what the book that I'm talking, you know, that I'm sharing, that launched today, Killing Beauty, you can get it anywhere. Title, in case anybody's wondering, is based on a very famous Zen koan, which is basically what we're talking about. If you see the Buddha along the road, kill him or you'll follow him the rest of your life. It doesn't have to just be a guru or the Buddha. It can also be the job, the career, the money, whatever you've like made into your guru, you have to kill. And that's kind of what we're talking about here. But I also, I don't call it the universe and I don't call it God. I just call it Bob because in the end, to me, it's all the same thing. And in the end, the thing is, you know, I don't think of trust and faith as just sort of thing. It's an action. It's a verb. So you're living in trust and faith. I call it trusting and faithing because I know, first of all, you know, this idea, you can't have it all. You can have it all, but then you have to get the conversation, well, why do I want it all? Do I really want it all? Or do I just think I want it all because I've been told I want it all, or I've been told having it all, or you have to. And then when you get really clear about what you really want, like what you said, when you get really clear about what you want, and it's super in alignment with you and you're feeling all the juju around it, it's amazing because you can almost always get that. Like all the other stuff that you've been thinking that you want that you can't get, I realize I'm not getting this because I really don't want it. Like it doesn't serve me. It's just some story about that I need to have it or I should have it or that's what it is. But when I really get down and I go, God, do I really want that? Actually, no, I really don't. I really want this. And boom, that pops in. That's the law of attraction, and that's the magic of how it really works.
Yes, I agree, 100%. Yeah, and also you're allowed to have different things in your life. Your spiritual path has forks in it, and you go in different directions, and that's okay. And it's okay to not have to be in the same place doing the same thing your entire life. It's okay to walk away from something. Or it's okay to say, I'm not leaving this behind, but now is the time that I do this. You know, you can eat a turkey sandwich every day. And one day said, you know what, I need a break from the turkey sandwich and I'm switching to the meatball sub, but it doesn't mean I can never have a turkey sandwich again. I think we live in a gray universe and we try to make it, we're a black and white species living in a gray universe. And we forget we're allowed to go in different directions. And I was terrified all the years, and you've known me a long time, that the spiritual world was calling me because I thought that meant I could never work in entertainment again. I could never do anything again. I had to shut that door forever. And then literally after my mom died, spirit, which is what I call God, and I refer to them as them, kind of, you know, picked me up and said, okay, and now we're going over here and doing this. And kind of took me in my grief-stricken state and threw me into the spiritual world. Like, this is now what you do and figure this out. And you can still have this entertainment thing, but we really need you here right now, so go.
Right.
And it was the most effortless thing.
Rules.
Yeah.
There's no rules, you know? Yeah. I mean, do it till you dig it. Do it as long as you dig it. And when you don't dig it, do something else. It's flippant. God, it's so flippant for me to say that because that's kind of how my whole life, I was sort of born that way. Like, I don't know if it was entirely my parents, but, you know, I was kind of born with that philosophy of like, you know, do what jazzes you, you know, do what you love doing. And, you know, it's a hard habit to break because we operate even though we're supposed to be these evolved, amazing beings, we still operate from, you know, flight or flight and survival. It's just the story has changed from, you know, the bear to the bank, you know, the bank, basically. And so it's scary and it's hard. And, you know, that's part of what Killing Buddha is about is a lot as the character in the book takes a leap of faith and starts to try to do something different, and all sorts of, you know, chaos ensues, because as you and I both know, the minute you try to go against what you've been doing, you know, you try to push up against the and resist, it pushes back at you. So you have to push through
of
that
course.
Resistance. And I think, you know, this year has been an opportunity to really experience what resistance looks like and feels like. And I certainly hope people wake up and go, gosh, you know, I don't want to do that job anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm not going to do it. The other question I ask myself, like, if I'm going to make a decision like that, if something comes up and I go, wow, like, this really is not serving my heart and my soul, then I ask myself, okay, what am I going to let go of in order to recalibrate back into what serves and what makes me sing? Because you're always going to let
yes.
something go. That might be money. That might be your car. That might be your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Those things. But if you really, 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 really want to live your heart, then you got to say goodbye. You got to kill your Buddhas. As we, you know, we there's this funny saying, people, writers say it all the time, you got to kill your babies. You know,
yes.
you have that favorite character or scene or movie that, in a, that you've written and you love it and it's so funny on its own, but it doesn't fit the movie or the script or the story. And so the writer will say, I've got to kill that baby. It's the same concept, you know? It's the same idea. What are you going to...
Absolutely.
And so first start with what's making my heart sing? What rocks my world? Okay, this rocks my world. Can I have that with all this? No, I have to let go of stuff. Am I willing to let go of that stuff? And if you're not willing to let go of it, then you have to ask yourself why. Why am I not willing to let go of it? Am I addicted to it?
Absolutely.
Am I addicted to the comfort? Am I addicted to that it makes my life, quote, easy? Is it really, you know, there's all those things that you can do that help you really get clear with why you're doing what you do. And it's a scary process, but if more people did that in the world, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And more people were just, like I said, understood the gray area that universe has thrown out for us, that it's not all... You must do this. You can never do this. If you do this, you can't do this. And we do that with everything, right? We do it with politics, religion, sexuality, gender. We're so much about, I have to declare I am one thing for life and do that thing. And that's not anything
right.
that came from spirit. Spirit never locked us in. You're not expected to wear the same clothes you wore when you were 12. And nobody expects you. Everything is a spectrum, and everything is endlessly expanding. And you are allowed
right.
to decide what works for you next and go over that and there and do that. And you can't beat yourself up about it. And, you know, but
right.
I think
and we,
in
you know,
my life.
Yeah, and we do. Yeah, we have. You and I both have. And we've talked about knowing.
Of course.
We know each other.
Yeah.
That, you know, we do it. And my big thing right now is, you know, I like a lot of humor. Killing Buddha is a very funny book. I have a lot of fun making fun of the crazy, ridiculous stuff we do in the name of finding enlightenment and really breaking down. It's a story. It's not a how-to book, and it's not a preachy spiritual book. But, you know, I think I've had to come back to one of my things that I'm sort of annoyed with around the New Age, New Thought, spiritual journey people.
Okay.
It's like,
okay.
is that they, you know, they're super dogmatic, and like they have this arrogance about them. You know, like they wear their spirituality like as their identity, you know, and it's almost hurtful because we say to these people, well, you know, just focus and manifest and you'll create, you know, focus on what you want and meditate and a Mercedes will fly out of your ass or whatever they're talking about, you know, and it's like, you know, it really isn't that easy. Like we have to really get clear with, life is screwed up. It is friggin' hard. You know, we are born, and from the moment we're born almost, we are put into a traumatic situation. And a lot of people have not been given the tools to heal from that, to deal with the crap that we've had to deal with, you know? And I'm not talking about just, like, the real, like, people's trauma of, like, rape or murder. Like, okay, there's that. I'm talking about day-to-day traumas that we have to really look at. Like, I look at my kids and I think, well, I was a pretty good mom, but yeah, they've had some trauma, and I'm sure I've caused them trauma. Like, you know, but there's no space for that, and there isn't a lot of space for that in the new age, new thought world. Like, there's people that will talk about trauma healing, but then you're supposed to fix it, and then you're supposed to be enlightened. Like, I've come to the realization in my old age of 51 that there's no end game. Like, there's no you get enlightened. Like, I've never met an enlightened person. And anybody who starts to tell me about how they've had their enlightenment experience or their kundalini experience, I look at them and they go, oh, God, they're so far away from it, it's not even funny. Because life is about just being able to step back and go, whoa, what the bleep just friggin' happened, man? Whoa, that was crazy.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm going to take baby steps every day to start to really connect with my heart, really connect back into the earth, connect back, ground into my, you know, practical spiritual practice, baby steps. And I may never get this right. And you know, there is no part of what the book sort of has a lot of fun with. It's sort of like the one night stand with spiritual movements. You know, like you can go to a workshop now and in three, I saw something today and it made me laugh really hard. There was this ad for this abundance workshop at this fancy resort in Belize, right? And I thought, so if I am having trouble with abundance, how the hell am I going to go to Belize to this like ridiculously expensive resort? And if I can afford that resort and that retreat, I clearly don't have a problem with abundance. But it's just ridiculous, like the way this. It's like the McDonaldization of spiritual practices. And part of what Killing Buddha does is try to break some of those myths in a really fun way, because I think that's part of what's holding people back. They step in and they go, wait, I don't want to take ayahuasca and shit and vomit for 3 days. Like, that doesn't, you know, like, is that the only way I can be enlightened? Or, you know what I mean? It's just, it's gotten out of the
way,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a funny story about that, about ayahuasca. So you know me, I am a no drinker, no drugger, no coffee, no anything for life person. That's just me. And I don't judge. I think other people should do it. I think it's kind of weird that I don't, but it's just who I am. So I was in a situation where I was doing kind of cold readings for people at an event, and this guy came and sat down with me, and his whole life was a train wreck, right? He couldn't get it right with the girl. He couldn't get it right at work. He didn't like himself. He didn't know where he was going spiritually, blah, blah, blah. We're all done. We say our goodbyes. He turns around and he says, have you ever done ayahuasca? And I said, no. And he said, you should do ayahuasca. I lead journeys and you should come to one. And I said, oh, hey, I would love to come and see what you do and take part in the journey, but I don't want to do ayahuasca. And he said, well, you can't come to the journey unless you do ayahuasca. And I'm like, oh, I totally get that. I understand. I think that all spiritual practices are amazing, but I've never done any kind of drug and I don't have any urge to do ayahuasca. And then he said, well, you know, you're really missing out because you could learn things about yourself if you did ayahuasca. And I said, oh, I'm sure people learn things about themselves, but ayahuasca is not for me. Like, it's like the shoe salesman, right? He's not getting that I don't want the shoes. And then he said,
right.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. The great mother thinks you're fat, and she thinks you could get a handle on that if you did ayahuasca with me. And I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. So you just spent the last half hour telling me that you literally cannot get your poop in a group, but I need ayahuasca because great mother told you I'm fat? Like God just sits around and points out who's fat. Like, that one's fat. That one's fat. That one's fat. But that's kind of, I think, in a way, sort of the hypocrisy you're talking about in the New Age community.
Sorry. I hit the wrong button. Are you there?
That's okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry. There's so many buttons. Well, the thing is, like, you know, I have so much to say about that. First of all, like,
isn't that the best story?
Like, I mean, it's funny because, like, his name was probably, like, you know, Bill or, you know, James. And he probably goes by like Ashananda, Yogananda, whatever the
exactly.
heck he thinks, right?
Right, yes. His name to Celestial Supernova. Right, exactly.
Yeah. I call those guys snags. Spiritual, sensitive New Age guys. Snags. And like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, first of all, I've done plant medicine, and to me, plant medicines aren't drugs. I have done them, but I am not doing them with some white dude, you know, who has an apartment off of, like, you know, Beverly Boulevard. That's just not happening, you know? Like, you know, I mean, I think that one of the things that's been lost in this whole, and it's kind of my fault, like, look, like, the bleep, you know, we sort of opened up the, you know, the quantum watch and, you know, floodgates.
Yes.
So, you know, I take a little bit of responsibility for that.
Call yourself,
but
you did, you and that damn movie did it all.
I know, but I think that, you know, like, to me, I might make some people mad, but, like, you know, and okay, for full disclosure, I was a creator of What the Bleep, so I'm partial to it. But if you look at What the Bleep, and then you look at The Secret, it's like The Bleep, to me, at least had some depth. It had some nuance. It had some deep concepts that you had to really think about and sort of contemplate, whereas The Secret was basically like sit on a cushion and meditate and be your magic. And what's happened is that we've lost, it used to be that the spiritual journey was a very personal, noble thing that you did by yourself. This was a very personal journey and experience.
Yes.
And the minute it came to the West, leave it to us Westerners to make it a romance novel about ourselves, right? Now, you know,
yes,
it's like,
yes, exactly.
I gotta wear my spirituality on my T-shirt, and, you know, and it's just, I think we have to get back to, like, well, what does this mean to me, and why does it mean that, and what can I do to expand that or evolve that or reconnect with that? And that has nothing to do with what damn crystal you're carrying. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love crystals. I got them all over my house. Like, I get it. But it goes back to this idea that if that crystal is your Buddha, and you think, I can't do anything unless I have my rose quartz and my amethyst and my malachite and whatever the heck else I've got, then that's a Buddha. And you've got to kill it if you're ever going to expand beyond it.
Yes. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I also think, I mean, I love the science of What the Bleep Do We Know, and I love the sensibility of it. I don't ever put anybody's stuff down, but if I had a complaint with The Secret, it would be that
it's one of those kind of days. I'm fasting today.
That it's a little too much about hooking up and getting rich. And there's nothing wrong with hooking up and getting rich, but I think when we think about our spiritual evolution, maybe we need to think beyond that to more of the spiritual, to more of developing us and raising our vibration, and knowing that when we do all of those things, all of the things we want in our lives, including hooking up and getting rich, will come to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what you really want, I think that you know, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to the sort of true meaning of, like, you know, I didn't have a daily spiritual practice for a really long time because I was sort of like, I hate it all. And in the last five or 6 years, you know, I've really gotten into, like, just making sure every morning when I wake up, I give myself half an hour, I do a little bit of a meditation, I light a candle. For me, part of it is making my coffee. Like, I have this whole sort of create your day thing, actually, funny enough, that I do. And it's, you know, could you label it any type of spirituality? I don't know. Like, it's Betsy spirituality, you know, but it's deeply meaningful to me, and it grounds me, and it connects me back into what's my purpose, what are my values, what are my ethics, and what am I going to do today, and make sure I align with those. So that by the end of the day, I can go to sleep feeling like, wow, I'm still connected here. I stuck in with it, you know. But I don't know if it's Buddhist or Hindu or I don't know, and I don't care. It works.
Exactly. Right. Right. Whatever it is, whatever the universe is comprised of, it's all good with me because it works. I was just talking to a client about this yesterday about, you know, this particular client, she was concerned that when she does her own spiritual work, she feels like she's only connecting to like a couple of deities. But then she goes on Facebook and YouTube and she sees these videos where other spiritual practitioners are talking about how they connect to like 20 deities. And she was worried that her gifts weren't strong enough because she didn't have all these deities. And I said, look, I just connect the source. For me, there is one big blob of light, and it's called spirit, and I do all my work through that. I don't know if I'm connecting to, you know, Archangel Michael or the ghost of Don Rickles. It doesn't matter to me. Seriously, it's all just the messages come in, and I don't ask who it is. I don't need to, like, put a feather in my cap by saying, oh, well, you know who I talk to. I talk to Mother Teresa's ghost, and I talk to Ganesh, and, you know what I mean? To me, that's just a lot of, it's trying to make three-dimensional bragging out of the universe, which is not a three-dimensional place. Does that make sense?
Exactly. It's exactly right. You know, there's a section in my book where I you know, have you ever heard of the crystal skulls?
Absolutely, yes.
So I have a lot of fun with the crystal skulls. And I want people to know, like, I hated those movies, like, Wanderlust, and oftentimes I'll see a movie that'll try to make fun of the spiritual or the new age. And I can always tell when they actually have never done the ritual or done the practice or done it, that they've just played with the cliche and or the easy joke, right, of it.
Right.
But everything that I wrote about, every experience that our characters go through, I have done. And I laugh at it, but I mostly laugh at the main character, which is really me, and her journey of doing these things and how she interacts with them. And it's fun. And, you know, I have a lot of women and men who have been spiritual practitioners and been in this stuff for 30, 40, 50 years, and they read it and they were like, this is funny and perfect because it's true. This is so true. All that you talk about in terms of the silliness and the ridiculousness and how so often we create these like ornate, ridiculous things when really connecting to your spirit or your soul or your heart or Bob or, you know, whatever you want to call it, is so much more simpler. You know, it's much simpler than we've tried to make it. Because part of it is because we had to make it complicated so that we could sell it for a lot of money, right? So, you know, now
right.
You have to go thousands and thousands and thousands of, and I'm not, you know, sitting here saying you shouldn't pay for workshops and stuff because I think there's some value in them. But, you know, do your research and make sure if you're going to do Aya that you're going to do Aya with somebody who's, like, I won't do plant medicine with a person who calls himself a shaman. I will do a plant medicine with somebody who's practiced the art of shamanism and been trained for between 20 and 30 years. I won't do it with anybody less. Because it's just, if I'm going to do something like that, and that could be a white girl named Cheryl for all I know. I'm not looking at their skin color or anything like that. I want to know, have they really done their homework and do they really understand the depth of what we're talking about here? Because that's what we've got to get back to. So there's a lot of depth and there's a lot of meaning, but the rules are yours. The rules you get to decide, you know? You get to decide if you want to make that crystal be your thing, rock on with your bad self. Like, do it. But if at some point you start to feel like, oh, my God, I'm really attached to this crystal. This is what Buddha talked about when he said non-attachment. Buddha did not say, don't love anybody, don't care about anything, just all non-attachment, it's all impermanence. That's not what Buddha's teaching was at all. That's a big mistake in a lot of these, you know, don't be attached to people, don't be attached to things because you saw an attachment. No, Buddha had love. Buddha was attached to people. Buddha loved people. What he meant was things change and things shift. Be present in the moment and love it right then and there. And if in the next moment it's still there and you still want to love it, do it. But so if you've got this practice and it's working for you, great. But if you wake up one day and you go, you know, I think I want to stand for an hour on my left foot instead of my right foot, just like you were talking about the sandwiches and the careers. Do it.
Right.
It's,
yeah,
when,
yeah.
When you start to feel really connected to your heart, you know, people think I'm crazy half the time because, like, I just follow, I'm super in the present now. As I've gotten older and older, I've just really been, like, super present. Like, is this important right now? No. Okay, I'm moving on. Because I just realized all the stories and, like, the things. Remember when you were, like, 13 and something happened and then you thought the world was going to end? And then the next day you woke up and the world was still there? Like, how often do we all do that in our lives with everything, right?
Absolutely. And I think that sometimes if I have one complaint with the New Age community, like I said earlier, it's that there just seems to be a little bit of a priority is strange. Like you said, I'm all about manifestation. I'm all about meditation. If you want to make a vision board, that's terrific. I sort of manifest mostly ethereally. Sometimes I'll make a list of I call dreams and I'll write down things I would love to happen in my life. And I find many things happen if you ask. If you live in a place of thankfulness and gratefulness, many things happen. But I think sometimes people think that spirit is just diner waitress that you give your order to, and then you throw a temper tantrum when your order comes and the pickle is missing. And that's not what it's like, you know?
There's a chapter in, so if people sign up from my website, BetsyChassie.net, they get my other book, Tipping Sacred Cows. They get a digital copy of that for free. And there's a chapter in that book called Who is the Universe and Why Do They Have All My Stuff? And that is exactly the point of the chapter. It's like we just sit around here as if the universe is some vending machine, and we pop in, you know, I want this and I want that, and magic is supposed to happen. And, you know, the other thing that we people get confused with is this notion that if it's meant to be, it'll be easy.
Yes, right. Not necessarily
right.
true.
Not necessarily true.
Sometimes right. Sometimes right.
I'm so hard.
I'm hearing me.
You know, especially.
There you go.
You know? What?
Yeah. I was hearing me and not you. I was hearing me and the feedback and not you. I don't know if that's what everybody listening heard, but that's what I heard. Isn't that strange? There was two of me. Two.
Oh, my God.
Two of the price of one.
I mean,
I have a funny story about that. So around the time the secret came out, I had a friend in the entertainment business who, you know, had was gotten very into it. She did her vision board. And she came to me. She said, have you done a vision board? And I said, no, I haven't. And she kind of chastised me for not doing one. Like, you know, you're never going to get anything in life unless you do a vision board. And I said, well, you know, okay. I've always felt, I was kind of taught by my mom to keep the channel to spirit open. And when you need something, you ask for help. And when you don't, you give back as much as you can. That again, that I didn't ever believe you just pray when you want something. No, it's about you always keep the communication lines open, right? So I didn't know I had to do a board and cut things out of a magazine and glue stick them to a poster board, but she was really lecturing me. So she said, well, I just did mine. And I said, okay. She's like, it is for my best spiritual enlightenment. And I said, oh, okay. So she shows it to me, and the thing, this is what was on the vision board. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? $1 million. $1 million, a Maserati, Fabio, and rollerblades.
Awesome for her, right?
Right. I mean, she shot for the moon. But I think that, I mean, for me, I don't understand why with all those things you wouldn't just go to Walmart and get your own rollerblades. But with me, I just think that's great to want all that material stuff if you do. And I, you know, nice stuff. I have homes and a nice car, and I'm not knocking. I'm a capitalist, but I think that you need to maybe include into your vision board something spiritually for you or your family or your friends that isn't just, here's a lot of stuff I can't afford. You know what I mean?
You're being really judgmental there, Sheena. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think, you know, I think people should do whatever works for them. But again, it comes down to this idea that if people believe that, here's the way it works. If you believe that vision board is going to get you all that, then it probably will. But it probably won't if you haven't done the work to ask yourself, okay, why is having $1 million what's going to make me feel happy? Why is having that, what is that Mercedes or that Fabio? What is it going to give me? What's the experience and feeling I'm going to have when I get Fabio? And is that what I want? Because most of the time, we're just asking for things that we think we want based on the society and cultures, this is what you should have. And then we don't do the work around it. So if you don't do the underlying work around why you want the things that you're putting on your vision board, you're going to be really pissed off when you don't get those things. And then you're going to wonder, then you're going to go into, there's something wrong with me. Oh, my God, I'm not spiritual enough. Because no, the part that a lot of these books and things like that don't tell you is that great to make the vision board, but you got to do the work. And what's that's where the sort of McDonaldization of spiritual practices come into play. It's like, oh, it used to be that people did this kind of work daily for years and years and years. Now I can just go to a three-day seminar, and apparently I'll be abundant when it's over, you know? And then when they get home, they wonder why they're still not abundant, you know? So we have to get back to the real practice of it. And we have to accept that we suck at it 95% of the time, and we're going to fail most of the time, and that's okay, because that's what life is for. That's why we're here, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a teaching planet, right? It's a learning planet. It's soul school. We're here to learn, and that's what we're doing. And you're not expected to get it right. You're not expected to know 100% what you're doing. We're all just here to learn.
Yeah, and to try not to be a jerk as much as possible. That's the main thing.
Right, exactly. Right, yes.
Like, that's I finally figured it out. It's like, don't be a jerk, and you're going to mess it up every single day. And be thankful.
Right, exactly. Yes.
That's
Buddha
it.
Says
that's
try not to be an asshole.
Right, Buddha says try not to be an asshole. That's a good thing. And right now it's really important. Like, I was talking to somebody. I have this new streaming platform. It's called See Good TV. It's the letter C, good.tv. You can go, and there's all sorts of amazing movies on there. It's $2.99 a month. It's cheap. And it was really cool because we're launching a play. It's highly curated content. And so I curate all the content, and we're creating this this playlist called Conscious Men. And I don't know if you've ever seen a movie called May I Be Frank. It was a really wonderful film a few years ago.
The filmmaker is
going to write an article for us about, you know, what does it mean to be a conscious man? And it was so funny because he's been through the ringer, right? And he's like kind of where we are at this point. It's like, yeah, crystals and blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's great, but I got to get back to the basics. And he said, you know, I don't even like the word conscious anymore. I just want people to get their humanity back. Like, we just need to get back to our humanity again and then, you know, do all the other stuff. Because the world right now, you know, we're so in this us and them and everybody's separated and, you know, like people don't want to wear a mask and people want to wear a mask. It's like it's this whole us, me thing. And unless we get back to our humanity and us as a collective, it doesn't, you know, you can have all the crystals in the world you want. It's not going to matter.
Yeah, exactly. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't have all the crystals that you want, because I'm a firm believer, Betsy, that you should have all the crystals that you want. And I have a lot of crystals.
I know you have. I think I gave you some of my crystals when I was going to
say,
remember?
Some of the crystals I have are yours. Yes, exactly. I have everybody's crystals.
Look, I love a good crystal. I love crystals. I light a candle every morning. Like, I do my thing.
Me too.
Is what I love to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do you boo.
I agree.
Every day.
Yeah, and it's okay to be spiritual if you don't like crystals. You don't have to like candles or incense. You don't have to like any of that. You can say, I hate all that stuff. Spirituality is, what are you doing? What are you doing to become a happier, well-connected person within yourself? And how are you taking that happiness and connection and moving it into helping some other people to get there too? Bringing the elevator down and pulling some folks
up. Exactly.
You don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to glow in the dark stars and moons moo-moo to be spiritual. You just have, although I think my mom did have one of those.
Wait a minute.
I think I inherited one of those when my mom passed.
Wow. I want to see you wear that next time you come over.
I know you do. Yeah, I will. That's why I'm changing my name to Celestial Supernova, and I'm going to start wearing that and pinning a stuffed owl to my shoulder.
I
because
love
that's,
it.
That's what a psychic should look like, right?
I think with like rainbow eyes. I think you should do like rainbow eye makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And light up
yes,
like
rainbow
like
eyes.
Light up and light up like booby tassels.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, yeah maybe I could put unicorn horns on my like as pasties.
There you go.
Right? Then I'm ready to go. So tell me something about the book. What you're loving about the book, what you're loving about life and now that we're in the quarantine, what the next phase of spirituality and vibration raising is going to be for you, my friend.
So this book was a really big deal for me to get out into the world, and it took me 14 years, and I never gave up, and so I would tell everybody, never give up, just keep trying until you get it close to right. And it's available on Amazon, or you can go to my website, BetsyChassie.net. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble or go to your – I always tell people I'd love it if they go to their favorite bookstore. They probably won't have it in stock, but they can order it. And that way you're supporting an independent bookstore. And it still supports me. So there's like – you don't have to buy it at Amazon in order for me to, you know, get support. Go to your local bookstore. Give them the name Killing Buddha, Betsy Chassie. You can go steal the ISBN number off of Amazon. And, you know, I hope people really get from it what we've been talking about this whole show, that, you know, this is a journey, and it's your spirituality is your own personal expression, and you can find it and to have fun with it and to laugh, because that's really what the book is about. If they join my newsletter on BetsyChassie.net, they get a free digital copy of my last book, Tipping Sacred Cows. And what I'm doing right now, besides putting this book out, is my streaming platform, which is available on your iPhone or on Amazon Fire or Roku and online. Go to the letter C, good.tv, and there you'll find it. And it's about creating a space for conscious media and entertainment.
That's beautiful. And what are you contributing? I mean, are you doing your own thing? Are you doing a podcast? What are you doing there that highlights you?
I'm curating all the content. So like if there's a movie on that platform, I went out in the world and found it. And I'm just part of the team that's launching the platform itself.
Oh, wonderful.
So there's
okay, great.
I have some of my movies on there, but there's all sorts of great movies. Each like this month, because it's International Month of the Woman, we have two amazing playlists. One's called Feminine Rising, and the other one's called Female Filmmakers, where I went out and found incredible films made for and by women, and we're streaming those on the platform. You know, the thing that's important is, for the most part, there's not one place where you could go where you're going to say, you know what, if I go to this platform, I'm going to find a movie. You talk about raising your vibration. Our message is, if you are what you eat, you are what you watch. And everything that's on this platform is going to raise your vibration. It's going to hopefully lift your consciousness. And it's curated specifically with that in mind. So there's narrative films, there's documentaries, there's shorts, there's podcasts. We should look into getting your podcast on there. There's all, you know, music videos, all sorts of great, hundreds of pieces of content that you could just binge for hours, and you're never going to be left in a dark, scary, ugly place.
It's beautiful. That's the most important thing, right? I love that. I think that at the end of everything I do, I want to say, and you'll never be stuck in a dark, ugly, scary place. I think we should all promise that of everything that we do.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing that we try to do with the films, it doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about things that might be hard to listen to or hard to talk about, but there's always a way in which we want the viewer to have a personal transformation, a healing, so that they might learn something about the world or about themselves, and there might be a moment of like, ooh, that's rough, but then at the end or through it, they're going to learn how to work through that. You know,
yeah, I love that.
And we do that through narratives too. It's not just boring documentaries, but talking heads. There's some gorgeous movies on the platform.
That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? That's fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
To talk to you. So happy that everything is going so well for you. And
Thank you.
Just great to hear your voice. I feel like I haven't talked to anybody in a year. Do you feel that way?
I have. Well, I exactly. I mean, I've done some drunken Zooms, but beyond that, it was fine. <I'm just kidding. laughs> And Sheena knows me. She knows I like a good glass of or a bottle of wine every now and then. So, you know, it's going to be nice to get back with people again. I'm looking forward to it. I am going to get vaccinated because I'm not going to live in some fear that you know, everyone says if Bill Gates is really going to want to put the chip in me, we're all carrying it around already. So I'm just going to get vaccinated because that way I can get on a plane and do one of my favorite things, which is travel.
I agree. And I miss going out to teach in person. I'm teaching a lot on webinars and stuff, but I'm doing my spiritual service, but only for video. I mean, everything I do now is just for video, and I love the peacefulness of it, but I do miss getting out and seeing people in person and encountering people in person and being out
at
the Hollywood Improv with 200 people. And you know what I mean? I miss that because that's fun.
Yeah, we'll get there soon.
It'll come back. It's going to come back, my friend. You are amazing. Appreciate you.
I love you.
Again, one more time, where people can find you online. I love you, too.
BetsyChassie.net.
Do it, my friends. Go and find Betsy. She's terrific, and I appreciate you being on the show, sweetie. I would love for you to come back again and, of course, come and do my Haunted Playground show. Betsy Chassie, everybody, isn't she amazing? And if you have never seen What the Bleep Do We Know, please go check it out. It's truly, in the spiritual community, a completely iconic film that I think just gets more popular with age. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host. If you'd like to book a private session with me, a reading, a healing, a group session, a house clearing, one of my webinars, I've got a line of crystals that I sell. Everything is at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com here. Tuesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific time, it's Raising the Vibration. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time, it's my Haunted Playground show. And I also do 3 shows for Live Paranormal's video channel. I do tonight, the companion to this, called I Am Raising Your Vibration. Lots of free psychic readings. Tomorrow night, Haunted Playground After Dark, 9 o'clock Pacific time. Lots of free psychic readings, also your spiritual questions, your paranormal questions, your psychic questions on both shows. Fridays at 9 o'clock, I do the soulmate experience with my very own soulmate, Lynn Arney, who's a brilliant psychotherapist, and I'm proud to call my own twin flame. And many other things I'm doing, my spiritual service, I'm a staff pastor at the Founders MCC Church in Hollywood. SaturdayNightSpiritual.com is my service. Can be found by going to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Don't forget this show, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, and my nonprofit, RaisingTheVibration.org, and everything's happening on LiveParanormal.com. Till I see you next time, my friends, remember to ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness. Embrace unity, and always, 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 my friends, raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. Till I see you next time, next Tuesday, 5 o'clock Pacific time, right here on Raising the Vibration, and I'll see you soon. Thanks, Live Paranormal. Honored to be a part of your family. We'll see you next week. Take care.